America Unhinged Radio with Dr. John Diamond.
I don't see anything. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. Please join me at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. We've got a lot of great material for there. Please download my free book, Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice. This is the prescribed method when your nation is basically rebelling against God. That we have a solution, and the children of Israel used it in Exodus. The founding fathers used it. Even the churches over in Eastern Europe used it to bring down the wall. So very good, very strong biblical principle there. The appeal to heaven, a cry for divine justice. And it really is just using imprecatory prayer to ask the supreme judge of the universe to intercede in the life of our nation. And that's what we need today. That's what's going to save us. So we got a great show for you today. Two great guests, and we will be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTZEHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. It is 3:16. Finally, spring has sprung, unless you're up here in upstate Pennsylvania, and we're still sloshing through some snow and some slush, but hopefully it might be right around the corner. Before we get started, I do want to remind you that Dr. Alan Keyes is available for some speaking engagements, so reach out there at imtv.us, and we'll put you in contact with the right people. I want to remind you to go to acts529.com. Stephen Mannion started this. Last I checked, he was well over 3,000 signatures there, reminding the government that they are not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So if you're a pastor or a leader, an elder, look at that statement and then join that coalition. And then Coach Dave Dobemeyer, again, has his event March 24th and 25th, which is a medical and legal truth summit. Got Dr. Sherry Timpenny, Tom Renz, Carrie Madej, Resistance Chick. Should be a great, great weekend. So if you're in the Cincinnati / Northern Kentucky area, please get out there and support them. Let me go ahead and just start. I got one scripture verse for you today. And it's one that many people should recognize, even though I don't know if many people actually apply it, but that's a different story. John 15:5, and it says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's just such a fundamental truth of Christianity. Every day our life should just be, you know, you show up to work and you ask your boss what he wants you to do, right? Do we do the same thing with the king? Do we show up every morning and say, you know, as a military veteran, I kind of say, you know, reporting for duty, sir. What do you want me to do today? And that really needs to be a habit that you develop in your life. Realize you were created for him and for his purposes. And the sooner you realize that and then kind of implement that as a habit in your life, he can do great, great and wonderful things through you. Matter of fact, the only thing you can do that's substantial as far as kingdom stuff is if you do that. The rest, you're just running around in some kind of, you know, religious tradition because, well, we've been doing it this way for 50 years. And that's really what got the Jews in trouble at the time of Christ, their traditions, right, rather than just hearing every day the word of the Lord and following him there. So if you've been with me in the past, I've had Amon Ross with Kingdom in Politics on. And he sent me an email and sent me this recommendation, said, you really need to get this next guy on. So Ed Rush is a Top Gun pilot, or was a Top Gun pilot. We were talking in the pre-show that I was getting ready to sit down and watch the new Tom Cruise movie this weekend. So, Ed, I want to welcome you to the program.
Hey, Dr. John, good to be here. And, yeah, watch the movie. Best movie of the year, in my opinion. Should have won, you know, the Oscars, but it didn't. But, yeah, good to be on the show.
Absolutely. So usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I just really let them give their testimony. You wrote a book, and I definitely want to help promote that and talk about it because it really goes with what I started off my monologue this morning. Just give us your background and how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah, it's really good. You mentioned that verse in John, and the interesting thing is, like, if you look at our country right now, we disconnected ourselves. I don't know how long ago it was. We disconnected ourselves from the vine, and all the things we're seeing economically, you know, politically are a result of that. And yeah, I just really appreciate the message. It's pretty simple. You know, you connect yourself back to God, understanding what Jesus said in that verse in John, and prosperity would flow from that. But yeah, thanks for the intro. I could just say confidently that almost everything that happened to me by accident. I think divine accident is probably a better way to say it. I started out in life. I was a Pennsylvania boy, by the way, like you. I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And I started my life very auspiciously by failing kindergarten. I don't like admitting that fact in public, but it taught me early on that really everything, I would need to start following the pattern of people who were successful. And so, yeah, I eventually graduated from kindergarten, actually made it all the way through college and into flight school, ended up doing really well as a pilot. Flying came very naturally to me, basically because you really only need to know three things, which is when you push the stick forward, the houses get bigger. When you pull the stick back, the houses get smaller. And when you push the red button on the stick, all the houses go away. Basically, a very simple proposition when it comes to flying fighters. Ended up in Top Gun, graduated from Top Gun, was an instructor at our Marine Corps weapons school. And then eventually I got out of the military, you know, much like most people do. I didn't go fly for the airlines like is very common. What I started doing was writing books and speaking to entrepreneurs. You know, my view is that entrepreneurial thought connected with the mind of God will change the world. Governments don't solve anything, as you know. Bureaucrats don't solve anything. Red tape doesn't solve anything. Large councils and meetings often don't solve anything. But what do solve problems are connected entrepreneurs who hear from God and are willing to execute a game plan. And so I've had a vision for that for about the last 15 years. I've been working with a good godly entrepreneurs on their mission to change the world. I've literally helped people make tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. And yeah, this last message. So God gave me this book called God Talks, which I know we'll talk about at some point. But the idea is essentially allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit and allowing God to direct the movement and the formation of your life. And I've seen tens of thousands of people use this message, and it totally changes their lives. And so, yeah, just happy to be here as a part of the program and to share the message.
Yeah, and I'm working on a discipleship course right now, which really kind of leads people through the, you know, the three levels of Christian maturity: children, young men, and fathers. And, you know, a lot of people, and this is what I have found out, you know, a lot of people have made Jesus Savior. They haven't made him Lord. And that's really the next step. You know, it doesn't take you anything to get saved, because, you know, you don't save yourself. He saved you. It's not of works. You know, it's of grace and faith. But the next step really is just to make him Lord. And that's what Romans 12:2 says, you know, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. So when you just say, hey, here I am, I'm created to serve you and to do your will, then that's really the next step. And then you implement that every day. So that's what I appreciated about reading your bio, that you just want to, that God's got this. You just connect yourself with him, show up every day and say, what do you want me to do today? And he will do great and marvelous things through you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful description how you just said, you know, when you're saved by grace, right? And then Paul said, having been saved by grace, are you going to continue forward through works? And I just have to say, like, the walk with God, you know, we talk as believers a lot about being saved from something, you know, being saved from eternal damnation or whatever. But really, like Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. So part of that process is coming into life. You know, it's not like you're so much avoiding something as you're coming into this beautiful relationship. And as you're walking with God, it's like as a pilot, I was always, and I mean this when I say always, I was always connected to an air traffic controller. Always. From the moment you start your engine, you start talking to control. You don't move an inch in an F-18 without clearance from ground control. You don't take off without clearance from tower. You don't make a left or a right or climb or descend without talking to approach. And eventually you're going to talk to, like if we're in combat, we're talking to an air controller who's telling us where the enemy aircraft are so we can begin targeting. You're blind. You're completely blind. Their radars go so much farther than the radar in the F-18. And so my vision for that is, look, I would never fly an airplane without talking to my controller, and I would never start my day without talking to my heavenly controller. So typically I'll start my day. I have a little chair, like a prayer chair that I sit right in there. I have a technique called downloading your instructions for the day, where literally you just connect to the mind and heart of God, and you journal out the program or the plan that he has for you. And I will just tell you, John, every day I do this, it's easier than the plan that I had. It's way better than my to-do list. And it's fascinating what you can do. You know, all the solutions we have for our economy, for, you know, for medicine, for entrepreneurship, for the school system that clearly needs like massive renovation, all of those solutions are inside the mind of God. And when Paul said, we have the mind of Christ, what he meant, because, you know, I know the Greek. What he meant was, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we can connect to him to get the answers that we need. And, man, when we do that, it's the world will change literally overnight. It's part of my mission is to get 8 billion people praying without even knowing that they're praying so that they can connect to God and flat out change the world. It's going to be a blast.
And I really love the illustration that you've given. And, you know, as a teacher and someone who writes curriculum and discipleship and stuff, I'm always using for, you know, earthly illustrations to convey a spiritual truth. And I loved what you just said there about I would never, you know, and maybe it's just because we're both Air Force and we're both used to being around planes. I mean, you got the AWACS up there and, you know, and they're overviewing the whole theater of operation and they're sending messages to all the pilots and knows where everybody's at. It really is a great illustration to know, you know, that he's up there in eternity. He's looking down just kind of like the AWACS would, and he sees everything and knows everything. And if we just get into the mind of Christ and just follow the instructions that we have, I mean, in a way we're blind too, right? Because we can't see into the spirit realm, you know, unless he opens our eyes. So, I mean, that dependence on him every day is not only important, it's a critical aspect to your walk.
To steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. My experience, by the way, is that the easiest way to understand what is God and what's not is if it's being stolen, killed, or destroyed, it's not from God. And if it's life and full life, then it is. And so, yeah, like my, you know, I grew up in a church that basically tried to scare you into becoming a believer. What I realized is eventually you should get to the place where your life is so full of prosperity, abundance, peace, and joy that people walk up to you and say, dude, I don't know what the deal is, but can you explain to me how you live your life? It should be something that's so attractive to them because you're living your life to the full. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, the military, as you know, it's all about command and control. Like everything we do is as a result of the orders that we receive. And in our culture now, that's all not all that popular, you know, because we have like we have a very sort of selfish autonomous culture, but it's better. That's the thing I keep telling people. It's better this way. When you submit yourself to your, you know, heavenly controller through God, your life is better. Your relationships are better. You know, you get to meet amazing people like you, Dr. John, and, you know, share amazing messages. And I do this around the world in front of massive audiences. And yeah, just like thrilled to see it moving forward.
Yeah, that's just a great point. And that's, I mean, my whole life's that same testimony. You know, I get saved at 27. The Lord tells me, teach the youth. I'm like, I can't do this, but he can do it through me. You know, he says, go to Bible college. I'm like, I can't do this, but he does it through me. He says, write a book. I'm like, I can't do this. He says, just take a note, you know, so sit there and write what I tell you to write, essentially. So, I mean, my entire life has been that. Even when this show started here on Brighty on TV, I remember walking up and down the road and I'm just like, you know, you've given me all this stuff. I have no platform. And then next thing I know, the phone rings and says, hey, you want a show? So, I mean, you know, we just got to be in tune with the voice of God. So I want to talk a little bit about your book here. God Talks, How to Have a Friendship with God, Even If You've Made a Million Mistakes. I think that's most of us there. Tell us about the book and how that thing was started.
Yeah, I have a club. I have a club that I started called the Million Mistake Club. And the purpose of the Million Mistake Club is, you know, when you've made a million mistakes, which usually is like your late 20s by my math, when you've made a million mistakes, you're a lot nicer to that server at Applebee's who forgot to give you your side of ranch, you know. You're a person more full of grace and you're far more patient with people. So, yeah, my vision is that you shouldn't have a social media account until you've gotten your card from the Million Mistake Club. Yeah, but the book God Talks, I've got it sitting right here in front of me. Literally, we just published this book last week. It launched on Amazon a week ago. Thrilled, by the way, thrilled. We've already hit several number one bestseller lists with this book. And it's a fun, fast ride on a journey with God. I will just simply tell you, everything I teach came out of experience working with people. And the fundamental premise of the book I could share in 28 words. It's very simple, which is you're going to learn how to hear God's voice. You're going to be able to get answers to the question you're asking. And this is really where this book departs from a lot of the literature around this topic. Then I'm going to show you step by step how to use the answers that you get from God to recode your mind for success. So, Dr. John, the story that you told about, you know, listening to God and saying, hey, you're going to write a book and you're going to start a show. I mean, I've worked with tens of thousands of people, and I will tell you that when people hear, especially for the first time, the voice of God, it completely changes them, and in certain cases, totally breaks them so that God can build them back up again. Certainly, that was my case. You're going to hear my story, actually, in the very first chapter of the book. But after God begins speaking to someone, very often he gets them on a mission. He'll fix them, you know, and he'll show them how to heal from past wounds and trauma and, you know, words that have been said to them, like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees or you'll never amount to anything. But when God helps them heal from that, the next thing is he gets them on their mission. God has a vision to change the world, and the world needs changing. We're in a very dark place right now, as you well know, and it's getting darker. But the beauty of that is the darker it gets, the easier it is for people to see your light. And so what happens is God puts someone on a mission. He gives them a vision and a passion and a calling. And what happens there, it goes in one of two directions. And in your story, like you told, it goes in a direction of obedience. Obedience is nothing more than agreeing with God's trajectory for you, right? So when God said, hey, I want you to write a book, you said, man, I don't even know how to write a book, but okay, I'll write a book. And then you found out, like, hey, you know, I wrote the book. Like, that's what I did the first time that I wrote a book too. So that's direction number one, which is that just obedience. And by the way, obedience is fun. We make sometimes Christians make obedience sound like it's like hard work. Obedience is the best spot, okay? It's easier that way. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, remember? So so that's one side. The other side, and it's so sad when this happens, is I'll have someone look at me. Like at my events, I'll do these exercises with people where they'll uncover their purpose before God. And I'll have someone come to me and say, Ed, I just heard God say that he wants me to be instrumental in transforming the education system. But I'm just a mom. I don't know how to do that. And then they stop. Literally, they just got their vision from God, and they stop 3 seconds later, and it's always a sentence like this. I'm a just, right? Ed, I just heard God say he wants me to write a book, but I'm just a plumber. I don't know how to write a book. And then they stop right there. And so as you're listening to this, just remember that God is a great dad, and he's an awesome banker, and he has all the resources and tools and strategies you need. So if he gives you a mission, I can guarantee you have no idea how to do it. You'll know. Like one of my visions, I have a passion for changing the world through government. But I'd love to see that done outside of the current system we're doing right now. I have no idea how we're going to do it. I do know we're going to do it because you're connected to a God who is a great dad and has unlimited resources. And so the purpose and the point of God Talks is very simple. I want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to use those answers to recode your mind for success so that you can get on your mission so that we can flat out change the world together because the world needs changing.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, I'm just thinking of my past. And again, you know, obedience is the key, right? Because, I mean, for 27 years, I lived the way my whole military career, my whole high school career, I lived the way I wanted to. And it was a bit of a train wreck. So, I mean, when I finally got saved and I realized, wait a minute, I brought all this upon myself. All this, you know, the Bible talks about the curse of the law. You can either be blessed or you can be cursed. And I was just bringing all these curses because of disobedience. Well, if I just start being obedient, then everything will fall into place. So it's a great illustration, and people really just that's one of the fundamental things about discipleship is just learning. Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice." So I mean, you're hearing God. The devil's trying to talk to you. You know, you got your own mind trying to. You know, go through that. Is this you? Is this me? Is this the devil? I mean, where did this thought come from? I'll give you just one quick illustration. When I first got saved, the Lord was like, go up to this house and witness this guy who was working on the siding. And I was scared to death. I'm like, God, is this you? Is this you? And I didn't do it. And I failed. But later on, I was just like, how do I know if it's you? And he's like, did you want to do it? I'm like, no. Did the devil want you to do it? I'm like, no. Well, then who do you think that was? Right. So that's what we have to that's what we have to discern. And then it's easier. The more you walk with him, the more you recognize his voice, the more you know, hey, that's the devil. That's God. That's me. And it's part of growing. So I appreciate the fact that you've even written a book said God Talks and how to have that friendship with God. That is the most important thing. And in the times that we live, that is going to be crucial.
Yeah,
because there's some things going to be coming upon this world that are going to be kind of crazy. And unless we have that intimate daily personal relationship with him and we know what to do. I told my wife, I said, you know, Joseph woke up one day and said, take the kid and go. You know, if God said to you, go, would you go? I mean, do you hear his voice that much that you could just pick up your family and go one morning without no idea what you're doing? So it's a very important book that you've got out there.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what Jesus said, he said, my sheep hear my voice, right? So when I first started doing this, I had a pastor at the time. I said, look, I'm like having conversations with God. And by the way, I came from a church where that was not cool. And I said, what should I do? And he said, well, that could get really hokey. And by the way, he's right. It can get hokey, but it can be amazing when you hear from your heavenly controller and he tells you what to do. So I just want to invite you onto a journey into a friendship with God. I'm telling you, this book's going to change the world. I have a vision for being on the New York Times bestseller list for 50 straight weeks. And the first word in this book's title is God. I want to see his name at the top of that list, and we're going to do it. So, thanks for having me on to just share a little bit of the vision.
Absolutely. So tell people where to find you and where to find your book.
Yeah, really simple. So the book can be found on Amazon. Just type in my name, Ed Rush. Easiest name to remember, by the way. It's not even that long. And the word God Talks. You can also go to my website, which is godtalks.com. That's godtalks.com. Once you get to the website, what you'll see is I provided a whole series of free resources. These are totally free to you as subscribers and listeners to America Unhinged. I created a series of audios for you that you can just put on your headphones, sit, and be guided into a conversation with God. It's just a really easy way to get started in this process. There's a bunch of downloadable resources. So the website is God Talks. Again, one of the easiest websites to remember, godtalks.com. Thanks, Dr. John. Really enjoyed the time on the show today.
All right. Well, let's do it again. We'll see about getting you on with Dr. Keyes also. Love your message. And we will be right back after this break.
Support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. Brighteonstore.com.
This is Zach Voorhees, and I recommend you check out Brighteon TV every day for new content by some of the content creators you love most.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value, that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. We're just going to jump right into segment two here with our good friend Dave Racer. Dave Racer is America's teacher of civics. He actually had a show on Brighteon on here for a while, and now he's focusing on just a lot of great projects, from curriculum development to training students how to be involved in government. This is great stuff right here. So, Dave, welcome back to the program.
It's a great place to be with you, Pastor John, and talking about some of the good things that can be done still. Sometimes it's easy to get down on our country and our world when you look at world events. They're pretty sobering right now. And individuals who seem intent on destroying what we have or tying us into some massive world system, and we could go on for hours about that. But yesterday, for instance,
Brighty on Radio and BrightyOnRadio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Brighteon Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Brighteon Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Brighteon Radio and BrighteonRadio.com.
These are 9th to 12th graders, by the way. I tell them, you know, people make a career just talking about the First Amendment. You understand, even just the, you know, the Establishment Clause itself and free expression. So we're going down into the theory and the philosophy behind our Constitution, you know, the ideas, the founders, and I'm pretty excited about this. This is a brand new course I'm teaching this year, so. That was my day yesterday.
At, you know, to where I'm at here, because again, my kids go to a Christian school at our church, K through six, and then after that they go into more of a co-op situation, and then I go over there. I'm actually going over there as soon as this show's over to help and bringing Constitution and history and Bible are the things that I bring. But I would love to, you know, learn more about that. The when you say your students, do you have them like all day or you just have them for a class?
Yeah, great question. This is my 24th year with the Academy, except it's a different organization now. But this is we use what's called a flipped curriculum where I get them 2 hours a week. So just one day, and then they're sent out with assignments and reading and, you know, worksheets and this and that that I create. And it's a model that's worked well. I've had probably 800 students in my American government class and another 500 in Student Senate. I do an American government class, too. We call it American government for real. I share a good deal of my experience with Alan Keyes and my other active experience. I've been blessed. I've been a candidate for office 4 times. I've been campaign manager at a governor's level here in Minnesota, and then I managed Alan Keyes' presidential campaign. I've consulted with scores of candidates, congressional candidates, and state candidates, and so forth. So I've got pretty good practical knowledge. And what you see, what you believe, you know, reading our wonderful Constitution and how it's supposed to work is not how it works. It works in a kind of a sinister way, especially at the election level. And so I try to teach them. One of my favorite lessons is I teach them our tax system. I tell them you're going to be very angry when you leave today. Oh, hey, the book The Law by Frederick Bastiat. Classic book, right? Written in 1850. That was my homework assignment for my students this last week. And I reread it. Oh my gosh, I learned so much from that book. Every high schooler in the country needs to read that book. So, golly, now I'm off on a tangent. I get pretty excited about this.
Yeah, when, you know, me and Dr. Keyes were down there in Alabama in 2003 standing with the Ten Commandments, you know, rally, that's what I did. I came home and I just dove into everything that I could possibly find that the founders wrote themselves, not other people's opinions, but the actual, you know, Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers. Yeah. I mean, if you read the Anti-Federalist Papers and you look at all the warnings that they were given that if we create this government, here's what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, I mean, most of the stuff was almost prophetic just because they knew the past. They knew the history of governments that came before them. And I think one of the quotes said, if we create this government, they'll end up sucking all power to themselves until they're ruling us from Washington, D.C. And that's kind of where we're at today.
So let me kind of close that for a second. We're launching an online academy that will be this kind of flipped curriculum concept only online, called Omega National Academy. Omega National Academy, hopefully, the website is very, very close to being done. My goal is to actually launch next fall with my American government class and my Constitution class. I do another class called Contemporary Issues, which is one, you know, whatever is hot at the time. So, you know, I've done classes, obviously, on abortion, but also on gender and, you know, creation and climate change and all of that at the high school level. And I'm thinking I can adapt that one for an online course, but I might have protesters outside my office window on that one, especially the transgen crowd, you know. They'll translate me into something else. Omega National Academy, I'm actually working with the web developer right now, getting that ready. And that's a place where your kids could sign up in the fall. Next summer, we'll do Student Senate summer session, which is a 5-day intensive, the second week of July, Monday through Friday, intensive 6.5-hour days. They'll hear from 25 witnesses over that time, professionals. I mean, you know, kind of like I shared with at the top of the show, judges, business owners, politicians, you name it, they come, doctors. we cover a lot of territory, so I'm pretty excited about that. Hey, another thing that I thought would be worth sharing, you know that I worked on healthcare policy for ever, started 30 years ago, finished 22 books on healthcare. We've got a couple more coming, it sounds like. And my partner and I are writing now about the slide toward single-payer healthcare in the United States government run, whatever you want to call it, top-down, you know, government dictated. You know, why should that be of interest to us, John? And when my partner called me in 2004 about writing a book with him, his primary thing was, if we ever get national socialized health care, the people will forget about God. Because now all their benefit, their life-saving benefit, comes from the government. You know, and that may be overstated, but it is an indicator of what happens in a government-run healthcare system that's, as you were talking about, you know, a government that's all-encompassing. Now they've got your life. And you see President Biden negotiating with the World Health Organization now on managing pandemics. Can you imagine this? I just taught this in the Constitution yesterday. Treaties take precedence over state laws. They take precedence over federal laws. And we're going to sign a treaty with the World Health Organization? Are you kidding me? About our health? Yeah. Hey.
I'm going to read a quote from the book. It says, while reading The War in Court and Its Critics, I found 50 years ago, one congressman attacked Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren, saying he advocated socialized medicine in California, and this is the first step communists use in organizing a totalitarian state. So, I mean, you know, I wrote this almost 20 years ago. So when Obamacare come along, I'm like, all this is about is just organizing a totalitarian state. Not only in America, but now we're putting all of America's states into a basket, and now we're giving that basket to the WHO. I mean, this is a one-world totalitarian system, and they're using medicine and healthcare to do it.
Techniques to get you there, you know, get you hooked and keep you hooked. I'm on Medicare, you know, and boy, I got to say, you know, it's given me access to great health care, but at the expense of everybody under 65 who's paying two and three times more than they should be paying for the same health care. People don't understand that, but the federal government programs, Medicaid, which is state and federal, and Medicare underpay the providers, and that's made up by charging the rest of you, every one of you, extra money. You pay for it. Sometimes two to three times more than a Medicare payment is. And, you know, now I get down in the weeds, but and you don't even know it. We call that a hidden tax, John.
Yeah.
You pay, you know, for the same, you know, Medicare will pay $100 for an office call. You are paying $250 for the same office call. Now, through your insurance, granted, but your insurance is unaffordable, so it's kind of the same thing. With your high deductibles and your high out-of-pockets. Oh, boy, I'm getting into the weeds. Here we go. I've got a piece that we're submitting around right now on how COVID, how they use COVID to lead us closer to this, and how, you know, COVID, the management of COVID is a great way to describe how poorly federal government planning works in healthcare. You know, well over a million people die, whether it's from COVID or miscoded, however you want to argue that. Still, you know, a lot of people died that shouldn't have died because of the mismanagement of COVID and the restrictions on use of medicines that are safe and all of that. Well, here we go on another whole tangent.
No, I mean, it's a great conversation because I've had Scott Schlaer on here a couple of times. And I mean, just what came out of COVID, I mean, they were basically kidnapping people's families and elderly, and you couldn't get in and you couldn't get them out. I mean, what kind of system are we living under? You know, where this is supposed to be a doctor's office. I can't leave a doctor's office. I can't get my loved one out of a doctor's office. I mean, this is just scary, scary type of tyranny, you know, and then they're going to call the cops on you as some kind of terrorist if you try to get your mother out of a hospital. I mean, it is insane what the medical establishment has become.
I was just reading an article before we went on the show today about a Calvary Chapel out in California. And I'm very sorry I don't remember the county, but it was a county that locked down during COVID. And this Calvary Chapel opposed the lockdown after a couple months. They went along with it for a while and they opened up. And of course, people were coming from churches that were locked down. And I mean, they were up to 1,000 people there, you know, unmasked, hugging each other, sitting next to each other, singing praise to the Lord and trusting him to care for it. They can't track one case. They claim they can, but they can't track one case. The county has fined the church $2.8 million for defying their order. Well, those are courageous people out there. They're going to fight that on First Amendment grounds and excessive fines, Eighth Amendments. Which I think it's great, you know, whether they can win or not, that's a question. But I imagine the county will settle for something along the way. But there's stories like that all over. We lost my brother-in-law to COVID. You know, it was terrible. He had to be alone in the hospital. And my sister saw him the day he passed, and she was in the room, but in a hazmat suit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, And that's the thing. I just had this conversation yesterday. So my kids go to a Christian school and then a co-op. So I was at the Christian school yesterday helping work for their book fair. And, the kids left and we were standing there talking. And we got on that very topic that you were talking about there, yeah. You know. And people just don't understand it. Governors don't have the authority to make law. Right. I mean, it's like, how can you find me? That's the prerogative of the legislature. If you want me to do something, pass a law and I'll still take it to the court system. But these governors just imposing mandates and then fines unilaterally is so unconstitutional. It's not funny.
Yeah, we know about President Biden using executive orders and what Obama said. You know, I have a pen and a phone, and if Congress won't agree, I'll just create my own laws. And governors do the same thing.
Yes.
Last week, I think it was, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Governor Walz, Tim Walz, who's now being mentioned as a possible replacement for Joe Biden. Why? Because Minnesota is passing the most left-wing commune. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing in Minnesota. We could spend lots of hours on this one. Well, anyway, he issues an EO that says that you shall not discriminate against a family, a child who is expressing different gender identity. You cannot counsel that child. You can't treat that child to dissuade them. This is by executive order. Now, they're trying to pass that as legislation also. But listen to this. The Constitution says that when the chief executive officer of another state asks the chief executive officer of a state to return a prisoner who has violated the law where there's a warrant for them, they have to return them. This governor says, I'm not going to do it. If you flee, you know, Texas or Mississippi or whatever because of violation of their laws regarding, transgenderism and this and that, and you come to Minnesota and the governor of Texas wants to extradite you, we won't do it.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
No.
He can't do that. No. And who has the energy to prosecute that, to come against it, or the money to do it? We lose our freedoms just a little bit at a time. We don't quite understand it.
Yeah, and that was really the purpose of my first book that I wrote in 2006, is just to show, okay, here's the government that was created, and here's how we incrementally over a period of time, starting with the Marbury Madison 1803, and then the 14th Amendment, and then, you know, it was very incremental over a long, long period of time, but, you know, I put in the book, America's no longer America. We're now an atheistic, communistic, totalitarian police state wrapped in an American flag as a facade. So that's why your stuff is so important, because we need to get back to the founding.
Seems like I'm going to need to buy your book.
I'll just send you a PDF copy of it. Yeah, I wrote that, like I said, 20 years ago. So
the more the merrier. You know, I've done 55 books now, something like that.
Wow.
And a few of them have to do with public policy. Most of them have to do with other things. I've written about murder cases and, a couple of Christian fiction pieces and this and that. I would like to write. I started this one. Do you know the Benjamin Rush quote where he says, I am neither a Democrat or I'm a Christocrat. Yeah.
Right.
So I started a project called Christocrats, and it was going to be training young people how to be Christian activists. And I started writing that book years ago. and I got into this thing. I was writing about, what is it? My mind just, you know what happens at our age, right?
Right.
Anyway, I got too deep into theology, and I said, this is getting too serious. I don't think any student will read this, high school anyway. So I'm going to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting. Like I said, that's what I say when people ask, you a Democrat or a Republican? Because Benjamin Rush's quote, he says, I'm a Christocrat. I believe he who created man is best qualified to govern him.
Where is it? There it is. This is where I have it, right by my desk.
And that is what we need to get back to. That's really the kind of the call on my life, is to bring us back to that understanding that Christ is King, lawgiver, and judge. And you either follow him and you're blessed, or you disobey him and you're cursed. I mean, that's the story from Genesis to Revelation. So,
and he's given us the abundant life. I think we should write about what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. What that really means. And that's not a republic. That's, you know, it's not a government organization, but living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit inspired life, and getting all of life that God intended for us to get, certainly would help if it was shared nationally.
I agree. With 30 seconds left, Dave, tell the people where they can find you and your stuff.
Well, the easiest thing is just daveracer.com. My name is DaveRacer, daveracer.com. Student Senates, plural, studentsenatesaa.com. I invite everybody to go there and look at the little video. It's awesome.
Perfect. Yeah, I want to work with you both on and off camera to help get this to a lot of homeschool groups and Christian schools. Dave, appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
God bless. Everybody else, we will see you tomorrow. God bless.